We are here to affirm and celebrate life in all its wonder, complexity, pain, and beauty. In our fullness, we come to do so, and in our emptiness as well. We bring with us the cynic, the lover, the philosopher, and the trickster. All can contribute to our understanding of the paradox and paradise in which we live. All will help us laugh at ourselves and open the doors to a deeper comprehension of the universe and our place in it. Blessed be. Now, I would like to invite Chris back to tell the story for all ages. And I hear there's science involved.
Science, magic, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. So, I have a question for you. Do you know what these have to do with Unitarianism? They're cans, that's true. Anybody know the connection between these cans and Unitarianism? Anybody? Interesting. They're full of gas. You know, that's a joke that I wish I had. Thank you. So, way back in our history, there's a fellow named Joseph Priestley. And Joseph Priestley was the Unitarian in England who was a scientist, and he was, well, he was persecuted and hounded until he left, and so he's often recognized as the person who founded Unitarianism in North America. Joseph Priestley, as a scientist, is most famous for carbon dioxide and discovering how to make carbonated drinks. So he discovered oxygen and carbon dioxide and how the two work together. So I thought today we might try an experiment and see if we can summon the spirit of Joseph Priestley here.
Good.
Yes. Yes. It's not going to be quite like a medium experience, but it's going to be interesting. So, carbon dioxide. Does everybody know what carbon dioxide is? Do you know how we experience it most? We find it in the air. What else do we find in the air? We find oxygen. That's right. When we breathe in, what do we breathe out? That's right, carbon dioxide. And so, I need my young people to help me out by helping to stir this spirit of Joseph Priestley. I had a friend in the UK send it to me from his hometown. But I want to add to it your own, because it has to be animated. We have to animate the spirit of Joseph Priestley. Can you help? Yes? Okay. So I need you to take a very, very deep breath. A super deep breath, and then you're going to blow into the jar, okay? One, two, three, go. Perfect. Okay. I got something here. We think that you want to do two? Okay. One, two, three. Perfect. Rationality and reason and science can help us undo. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to let out the spirit of Joseph Priestley. And we're going to see what it does to this light of ignorance. That was another candle. He talked a lot about snuffing out ignorance, and so it doesn't work that well with the metaphor that we use now of lighting our candle, but nonetheless, thank you very much for animating and bringing the spirit of Joseph Priestley, one of our ancestors, here into the room. I invite the congregation to rise and form the arches as we sing the children.
Hello. The meditation this morning is a not short, piece by Margaret Atwood from Good Bones called Theology. At school, we prayed a lot. There was nothing to it. Every morning in the homeroom, a little scriptural reading, too, and more in assemblies, the principal pious over the PA system. The auditorium light green like a hospital, whispering and shuffling among the rows of quite new seats. And after the prayer, the daily exhortation to pick up your gum wrappers. This was in the age of ducktails. There was a lot of gum around. Once the Latin teacher said in a horrified voice, "Don't put the attendance slip there, not on top of the Bible." Here is what I would think about during the prayers, and sometimes in Latin class too. If heaven is such a good place and preferable to earth, why is murdering good people bad? Wouldn't you think you'd be doing them a favor, since that way they get up there sooner? Only murdering bad people should be bad, since they were to go to heaven anyway. But if they were bad enough, surely they deserve to be murdered. So murdering both good people and bad people is actually quite good, all things considered. To the good people, you'd be giving a helping hand. To the bad people, they're just desserts. I told this to one of my friends, Susan, on the way home from school past the Bayview movie theater with its ceiling packed with spitballs, past Kresge's with its dim lighting and wooden floors and brooches made from dyed feathers and gilt picture frames, containing for display purposes murkily colored photographs of movie stars from 10 years before, where it was rumored you would end up working if you flunked your year or slipped up badly in a back seat. What interested me was the thought of all these righteous murders and the people who would do them. I had my ideas about that. Even among the high school teachers, you could tell who wouldn't, who would enjoy it, who would say it was all for the best. Religion, it seemed to me, could get out of hand. My friend Susan went to the Unitarians, who sang badly but had kind ideas. At Christmas, her family did their tree in a theme, all blue gauze or all silver balls, not haphazard like the rest of us. Susan thought about the murder theory, but not for long. She did not think I was being serious. God is the good in people, she would say from time to time. Like vitamins and milk, I'd ask. So if everyone died, would that be the end of God? No, she would say. I don't know. I need a cigarette. Don't make me dizzy. I just want to remind you that this is a sermon about laughter and laughing at ourselves. There's no right and wrong time. Some of you may laugh when I don't think it's really the right time. But I encourage you to still laugh, because what appeals to one person doesn't necessarily appeal to the other. And at the end, I have a... That's our intern, laughing inappropriately. And at the end, if I remember, I will share with you some of the new humor sites that are on the net. A couple of them are Canadian, so I'll try to remember to do that at the end. Now, it is the sign of a mature person to be able to laugh at oneself. It is also the sign of a mature religion to do likewise. Trying to understand the meaning of life or how body, mind, heart, and spirit interrelate is serious work. It is true, but it also needs to be playful. Laughing at ourselves helps to see the inconsistencies and inadequacies that are part of all of those on a religious path. Only then are we shaken up in our beliefs and attitudes and in a position to improve this religious path, any religious path, that for many of us is, in this case, in our case, in the Unitarian Universalist case, so life-affirming. If not, if everything is always serious and never open to misinterpretation, misunderstanding, and adjustment, then we are still defensive about who we are. Thus, we will have difficulty becoming anything else, either more or less. I've taken some time deciding how I would go about choosing the material for Laughing at Ourselves. There are people quite well known like John Updike and Kurt Vonnegut who were or are both Unitarian Universalists. And there is lots of material on this subject. Maybe I should use that, I thought to myself. But because they are part of us, we will accept what they say about us more easily. No, we need to experience the humor told of us by others. I have certainly found enough jokes to tell you. Jokes that have lost my place. Jokes that make Unitarians or Universalists look silly or stupid or worse. And I wonder, is there anything worse to a Unitarian Universalist rather than silly or stupid? That might be something to consider too. So I found jokes, but I also remembered that I had some comments from two Canadian authors about Unitarianism that have humor in them, and you've just heard one of them, the reading by Margaret Atwood. She certainly makes this out to be rather simplistic. God is the good in people. The theological position of Universalism, believing that God loves all people and all people are worthy of love. It is a good position to have, I grant you, but it certainly says nothing, for example, about the place of evil in the world, and that is something that Unitarian Universalists are spending more time acknowledging now that the so-called onward and upward moral and spiritual motion of humanity can no longer be taken as a given. The second Canadian writer I recalled who wrote about us was Alice Munro. It's a bittersweet story she told called Memorial from There's Something I've Been Meaning to Tell You about the accidental death of a teenager and how the Unitarian parents dealt with it, including the memorial service they held. Have you heard, any of you heard about this? Well, in it, it wasn't so funny sounding, and it wasn't belly splitting funny at all. It was ironic, satiric humor. Here were these parents being all rational about their son having died and making sure that everyone was looked after and billeted and not taking any time to grieve themselves, definitely not showing any signs of grief. Unitarianism was described at one point as a system of digestion which found everything to its purposes. It stuck at nothing. Japanese gardens, pornographic movies, accidental death, all of them accepted, chewed, altered, assimilated, destroyed. I remember thinking afterwards, holy cow, is that really the way we are perceived? Is that really the way we are? I hope we are more balanced than that, but not according to Alice. Well, it is true she did write this over 30 years ago. So there's still hope that there is a little more discernment now present. Well, I'm going to now give you some of the bubbling, snickering yeast agents to balance that rather heavy fare with which I've started. Here now are some of the jokes that we need to find funny, and that are easier to find funny because it means we can laugh at ourselves. In the Times magazine, for example, in 1983 was the heading, Deleted Deity. And the first two sentences were, how does a Unitarian begin his or her prayer? Answer, to whom it may concern. You must have all heard that one. Actually, that's one we may be rather proud of, having the courage to acknowledge lack of knowledge about deity's reality, presence, power, or gender. And yet we have the gall to make a request to it, him, her, the source or the ground of all being. But here I am again analyzing the jokes on us as though that made them more acceptable. And maybe in some ways it does, as we do need the rational and investigative in most of what we believe. But analysis is not enough. Let's just let the following humor wash over you and see if you can figure out what others appreciate in these sometimes cheap but often accurate portrayals of weak links. How about a Unitarian Universalist has been described as one who faces all questions with an open mouth. Unitarian Universalists, I think all of you will have heard this next one, are not very good at singing hymns because they are always reading ahead to see if they agree with the words. Of course, there are also numerous jokes made of us because of our skepticism and curiosity. Here are several examples. In a life and death situation, a Unitarian Universalist prayed, "Dear God, if there is a God, if you can save my soul, if I have a soul." And Somerset Maugham, who most of you will know, commented, "A Unitarian very earnestly disbelieves in almost everything that anybody believes, and he has a very lively, sustaining faith, and he doesn't quite know what." And another one, I have to admit, this is one of my favorites. I'll try not to laugh through it. A Unitarian Universalist once slipped over the edge of a cliff and grabbed onto a vine growing up the side of that cliff. Dangling there, not knowing what to do, the UU called for help. "Help? Is anyone up there who can help me?" "Yes," came an answer. "I can help you." "What shall I do?" the UU said. "Let go," was the answer. The UU looked down at the sharp rocks far below and then replied, "Who are you?" The answer came back, "God." The UU looked down again, thought a moment, and then called out, "Is anyone else up there?" That's terrible, isn't it? I just love it. And the jokes about our theological roots also abound and are more or less scathing. In a gentler category, there is the comment that Unitarian Universalists are not so much interested in getting people into heaven as they are in getting heaven into people. I like that one. A witty remark made by one of our own 9th century ministers is that of Thomas Starr King, describing the difference between Unitarians and Universalists. Universalists believe that God is too good to damn humans, and Unitarians believe that humans are good, too good to be damned. A contempt for our lack of knowledge of our theological roots can be perceived in this next description. A Unitarian Universalist Sunday school teacher asked members of the class, "What is Easter?" And these are the example of responses that were received. One child said, "Easter is when we carve pumpkins and ring doorbells and say trick or treat." Another child said, "Easter is when we decorate a tree with bright lights and we give people presents." A third child declared, "Easter is the day we send heart-shaped gifts to people we love." At last, one child said, "Easter is the time when we think about Jesus. He was a great teacher who lived a long time ago. He did many things to help people. But some people in the government got mad at him, so they killed him by nailing him to a cross. When he died, he was buried, and on the third day after, which is Easter, he came out of the tomb where he was buried, and if he sees his shadow, there will be 6 more weeks for winter." I mean, we don't really do that, do we? About our beliefs, there are endless witticisms. Sidney Mead comments that there are only 2 things Unitarian Universalists believe in: congregational polity and Robert's Rules of Order. Now, if he had ever visited Canada, he would have known that is quite incorrect. Here we believe in congregational polity and Bourneau's rules. Some of you don't know who Bourneau's rules, Birbirne rules is the Canadian response to Robert's rules of order. A slightly less gentle comment is the report of a conversation between two children. One child asked the other what the child planned to do on April Fool's Day. The response was, "We don't believe on April Fool's Day in our family. We're Unitarian Universalists." Another, well, I think it's ridiculous. I hope we're not really like this, is it? A joke about a child who came home from a Unitarian Universalist church school class and reported that in the class they had heard about people who eat people and are called cannibals. Very upset, the child wanted parental opinion on the idea. "Well," said one of the Unitarian Universalist parents responded, "some people think that's terrible, and some people think that's all right. When you grow up, you'll have to make up your own mind." Are you finding it easier to laugh at our foibles as others perceive them the more you hear? A colleague phoned me while I was beginning this sermon preparation, and I read her some of the jokes I was considering telling. She added another one from a list I already had. It was the meeting between two Unitarian Universalist adults. One of them was pushing a baby in a carriage. The babyless person said, "What a beautiful baby that is." The response was, "Oh, that's nothing. You should see the pictures." Do we always need to have proof before we believe something? Hopefully not. Several people in the congregation that we are known say that we are known by outsiders as the church of what's happening now. What's so funny about that, I thought to myself. It's just that we pride ourselves so much on our ability to change and to keep up with all the latest state-of-the-art ideas and behaviors that it can be hard for people to figure out what are the religious principles to which we all adhere. As cartoonist Ashley Brilliant, another UU, I understand, I don't know if you've ever read his cartoons, they're quite wonderful. And one of his cartoon books called Pot Shots, he has two comments that seem to me to be very UU. It says, "As soon as I can find a good position, I intend to take a firm stand." And, "If you make one or two ridiculous assumptions, you'll find everything I say or do totally justified." Well, we really do need to be sure that we can laugh at the places in our religion where improvements need to be made. There are a few of them, most definitely. And also to laugh with others at how they perceive our faith. One of my brothers, who is a Catholic convert, said that one of the jokes about us that he had heard recently was this: "What do you get when you cross?" You must know the answer to this. "What do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with a Unitarian Universalist?" Christopher knows the answer. "You get someone who knocks on your door and has nothing to say." I know, it's terrible. We're not like that, right? One penultimate remark. A member of this congregation commented to me just recently that she's always found it fascinating how much we believe in excommunication. I'll say that again. How much we believe in excommunication. But unlike the Catholics, we excommunicate ourselves. That is, we do not stay around to complain, to try to change things, or to continue doing things in a way that is satisfactory to us. We leave and say, "Game over, we're not welcome." I hope that's not true. And I hope that this presentation has helped you to laugh at our religious perspective without disillusioning you. If it has disillusioned you, perhaps you came here thinking we had all the answers. Not only do we not have all the answers, we are still trying to perfect the questions. That certainly is true. But please stay if you can stand it, because we need all the help we can get. We need to continue to find joy in life by interweaving reason and intuition, struggle and hope. Stay and laugh with us and work with us and uncover with us imperceptibly the joie de vivre, the holy irreverence of life, the sacred aha, as well as the ha ha ha. May it ever be so.
It's okay, I missed a joke. So I was going to finish off with this one, which was the favorite I found while I was doing some research. So a UU was traveling abroad and couldn't find the local Unitarian Universalist church in the town she was visiting. After looking in the center of town, then in the suburbs, and finally out in the surrounding countrysides, the traveler finally had to stop and ask a farmer. She said, "Am I too far out for the UU church?" The farmer replied, "Nobody is too far out for them." I really like that one. Cheered by our community, blessed by our covenant, uplifted in mind, and renewed in spirit, go forth in laughter and meet the days to come. Peace be with you.